All right.
Well, this is the first service of the January, I should say, for 2019. I hope you guys are excited as I am, because this is going to be a step that we're going to take as a church, and I believe it's going to be in the right direction.
Amen.
And, you know, some amazing things are already happening. Just last night, I was, as you guys know, I do prison ministry. I went to a prison. We did a night of worship to start 2019. And the chaplain said, man, you know what, just pray about it, listen to God, bring what you can. I said, okay. And we had three other guys come up as well, and we all shared in the choir and all that. We did a whole night thing. But the three songs that came to mind was the songs that the worship team was going to do. And the topic that I was talking about was the same sermon the chaplain was going to do, the exact scripture. And everybody was just blown away by it. And so so that was another time to let everybody know during that service is that the Holy Spirit wanted something to be known, and that's God. That's not us. We're not that talented. And so not only that happened, but then he gave a short 5 to 10 minute thing about fasting. And I thought, Lord, that's what I'm talking about in the morning. And so I got my little journal out, man. I just started writing stuff down, man. It's good stuff. And the guy next to me said, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing tomorrow's sermon right here. It was awesome. So we're going back up there tonight, so it's going to be great. But I want to share some things that I wrote down from Chaplain Jared Ramirez, who you guys met a few weeks ago. And it's just great. And he's doing the same fast. And it's in just everything we talked about. It just lines up with that. So I'm going to share that with you here in a minute. But last week, we did talk about fasting for the new year. And after talking to most of you, I learned that at least half of you, if not more, have never fasted before. I want to let you know that today, your path, as you do this race that we talked about last week, race in life, this path that you're taking in fasting is going to be a good thing. It's going to be things are going to happen that you would not expect. God's going to blow your mind with things. You're going to see things. You're going to grow to another level spiritually. Lord. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And I encourage you each to get a journal or write it down or put it on your phone, whatever it may be. And as we meet on Wednesdays and Sundays, just share some of the victories that you've gotten from fasting. And I'll do the same thing. Fasting is a wonderful thing because there's a lot of benefits that you do, yes, but you're denying the flesh. It's hard. It's very difficult. How many of you like to eat? Now, I don't even have to raise my hand. You guys know, right? I love to eat. I love to eat great things every day. And so doing this is hard. I want to make one thing clear. If you are fasting for the next 3 weeks and it was easy, you're not fasting. Okay, it's got to be hard. It's got to be difficult because you have to deny your own flesh. You know, I was thinking about this sermon this morning, and of all the people that came to mind was a missionary we support and a former boss, Gerald Dollar. And when I first started working there years ago, he was there for a couple of weeks, and the subject fasting came up. And he told me something that I'll never forget. He said, you know, I've learned, because he did 3 40-day fasts. And he said, there's one thing I learned. He said, fasting food or denying food is the hardest thing you'll ever do. All the other temptations you have or your struggles and sins that you have, those are hard. But when you give up food, that's hard. And it's the hardest thing you can do because your body naturally wants to have it. And that always stuck with me. That came to me this morning when I was preparing for this sermon. So it's hard. So now you know, you're warned. It's not going to be easy. You may be a little cranky at first. You may be a little upset at first. But you know when that happens, that's when you come to God and say, Lord, I need you. I need you to come through. And you know what? God's going to come to you because you are emptying what you had and what you're relying on, the flesh, and now you're walking in the Spirit with God. And with desperation, you are seeing God show up in your life. It's an amazing thing. One of the things that I wrote down last night, and I hope I'm saying his name right, it's from Jennison Franklin, who's like the fast guru, as I'm told. And this quote stuck out, and it said, physical obedience brings spiritual release. I'll say it again. Physical obedience brings spiritual release. When you start this fast, you're going to be going on. May start off easy, may be hard. Either way, there's going to come a time where Satan is going to take you off track. As we talked about last week, he did that to Jesus. And he did it at the weakest point on the 40th day when the Bible said he was hungry. And he was in a place that nobody really wanted to be. And that's when Satan came in and tempted him. He's going to do the same to you. He's going to try to take you off track and take you off where you are at, because you're going to be close to God and you're going to see some great things happen. You have to say no. And as you do that and you turn away from your flesh and you get rid of it, you begin the detox. You get rid of that stuff. You get rid of those things. You disconnect from the world. You terminate the connection from the world. And now you're connected to God, and you're at a level that you've never been for. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and it's going to be great. As we talked about last week, fasting, number one, is a direct line to God. When you begin this fast, whether it be a Daniel fast or a full fast or fast a meal, whatever it may be, during that time, you're with God. You take all your distractions away. We live in a world full of distractions. You turn on the TV, you could be watching TV for the rest of the day. You go online, you could be looking at articles for the rest of the day. You go on social media, you could look at stuff. I mean, it could just go on and on and on. Distraction, distraction, they're everywhere. But during that time, you say, no, now it's me and God. Now you can focus through fasting. And it's a direct line to God. Number two, during that time of fasting, you can pray, worship, pray, do it some more, read God's word, and then repeat it. It doesn't have to be in that order, but you know what I'm saying. If you don't have a prayer list, I encourage you to start writing one. Write a prayer list. Start with praising the Lord and being thankful. Paul talked about that. The Bible makes that clear, that when you pray with thanksgiving and also rejoice always, you do that with prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your friends. And you know what? Maybe you say, I don't have any family and I don't have any friends. You could pray for your enemies. Jesus said to do that. But you can pray for a long time if you write it out. Write those things out. You can put on worship music. You can start reading the Bible. That's a good thing too. That can change your life. You know, the Holy Spirit moves, and we see the evidence of it physically, right? But the Holy Spirit also moves in Scripture. The Holy Spirit illuminates, which means lightens up the words. What's amazing about the Holy Spirit, you could read the Bible, you could read a passage 3 or 4 times in a row, and you could get 3 or 4 different things out of it. That's God. That's why we say the Bible is the living Word of God, because it's still alive. It works in your life. It never grows old. I love talking to pastors who've been pastoring for 50, 60 years, and they always say, it's amazing, man. I've been preaching and studying, and every time I do it, something different comes out of it. That's because it's alive. The Bible's an alive book. You read some other book, you just read it. You know what it says, and that's it. But the Bible's different. It's the living Word of God. You read that while you fast, big things will happen in your life. Things will happen that you will never even think would happen. Some of you say, well, I've never read the Bible. I've never known the start. Well, you could start in the book of John. You could start in the Gospels. You could start doing, really reading anywhere, as long as you have a pretty good grasp of what they're talking about. Keep the context pretty clear. But there's also great tools as well that we have. We have Our Daily Bread. We have those booklets in the back. They're free. You can take one. We also have the app. That's free. You can download it on your phone. There's also YouVersion, which is the Bible app. That's also free. And not only that, but it has reading plans, and so many reading plans that fits what you want. They have all kinds of different plans. And even if you don't want to do that, you can look up online. I saw this right here a few days ago, and I wanted to put this out. And it's called recklesslyalive.com, 15 must-have Christian apps by Sam Eaton. And it's in your bulletin. I encourage you to look that up. man, by the time it's done, you're going to have 5 or 6 different apps. You're not going to have enough time for your work day. You're going to be reading the Bible so much, right? I encourage you to look at those devotionals. Just take one. Do one each day. You can split it up. There's a lot of different tools you can use. You can listen to the Word of God. YouVersion does that. You can listen to it. I love listening to the Word of God. I don't like to read all the time. I like to listen to it and see it. Number 3, you humble yourself by fasting, and you make yourself desperate for God, and then you grow in Christ. Following God and producing fruit is a lot like lifting weights or running a marathon. Kind of touched on this last week. I'm also taking this from Chaplain Ramirez. Your walk with God, you don't start in the finish line and start at the starting line, and then in 2 steps you make to the finish line. It's a race. It's a journey. Paul talked about this. The same thing goes for whenever you're walking with your Christian faith. And the analogy he used was lifting weights. You don't start with 400 pounds on day one. You start with the bar, right? I got a guy in high school right now who's shaking his head lifting weights, right? You start low, and then you build up. You start doing 20s and 30s and 40s, but you got to keep it up. Because if you don't, you go back to being weak. You build up your stamina, you build up your muscles, you become stronger and stronger, and the more you do it, the more repetition you have, the more technique that you do that's right, you'll be getting the 400 pounds eventually, but it's going to take time. The same thing for the walk of when you're walking with God. God can change your life, but you have to be willing to meet Him to do it. God wants to change anybody. God's for anybody, but you have to go and meet Him there. The Old Testament talks about fasting. And most of the passages are, in the Old Testament anyway, are about troubles. They were troubled. They felt bad. They were confessing their sins. Nehemiah 9:1. It says that the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Esther 4:3 says, in every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And they were laying in sackcloth and ashes. Some other references were from David. And in Psalm 35, David fasted. And it says in Psalm 35, verses 13, yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting, when my prayers returned to me unanswered. I went about mourning as though for my friend or brother. I bowed my head in grief as though weeping for my mother. But when I stumbled, they gathered in glee. Assailants gathered against me without my knowledge. They slandered me without ceasing. Again in mourning is recorded in Psalm 69. Verse 10 says, when I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. And when I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. And also in Psalm 109:24, it says, my knees give away from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. So fasting was shown in the Old Testament as repentance. The Israelites were mourning. They were desperate. But the bottom line is they turned off everything from the world and was at a direct line with God. And with desperation they said, Lord, here I am. Meet me. Forgive me. Change me. Come through. Another famous faster would be Daniel. And in Daniel 1, we look at that, and that's a long passage. We're not going to look at the whole thing. But if you go to verse 8, Reuben, if you can. Verse 8 says that Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard from the chief official and pointed over Daniel. In verse 12, he says, test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Now, have you ever heard of the Daniel fast?
Some of you have.
The Daniel fast is where you just eat fruits and vegetables and drink water. Now, I encourage you, if you don't have a fast in mind, that would be a good start. Some of you may have to start slow. Some of you may have to, you know, start with the whole 3 weeks. I encourage you to do that. But Daniel fasted. And in verse 15, it says, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Daniel, with faith and trust, defeated the odds of physical appearance by fruits and vegetables. Now, if you eat fruits and vegetables during this fast, and that's all you eat, you're probably going to lose weight. And if you do, I encourage you to stay humble. That's not what we're talking about here. But the bottom line is, Daniel had faith and trust, and because of that, God showed that trusting him defeats the odds. If you fast today, I believe that you can defeat the odds. Maybe through prayer, or maybe through your faith or your walk in life, you can defeat the odds of what people are saying. Fasting is a tool to do that. Joel also said in 2:12, he said, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Now, with all that being said, I don't expect us to put dust and ashes on our head and wear sackcloth. Okay? We don't do that. But I believe that through fasting and prayer, we can see great things happen. Because, like we talked about, it's a direct line to God. You humble yourself to God. You deny the flesh. You say, Lord, here I am. Meet me. And he will. You see discipline take place. Your spirituality grows. Your strengthening in faith grows. You begin to see that God is so with you. Some of you may start praying and God begins to speak to you. You may develop spiritual gifts in the Bible that talks about that. You may see things happen that you never thought would. You may see miracles take place that you've been praying for. Fasting is a big tool. It's not just suffering. James 4 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Amen. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Give, mourn, and wail. The point of this passage is, when we clear out our minds, when we clear out our bodies, when we clear out what is going on in our lives, and we fast, you will see God move in your life. Amen. And you will see God, through prayer, see those prayers answered. I believe that fully. Now, with all that being said, as I said before, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be... People are going to call you up and say, hey, man, I haven't seen you in years. I'm in town. How about we come go get a big ribeye? I got to be honest with you. I started the fast on Friday. I walked into the church and got everything ready. Saw those glazed donuts and those pigs in a blanket. I said, that's okay. I'll just go in the office. It's no big deal. It's all good. And I had to go find a couple of people and talk to them. And I walked in and I smelled Peggy's coffee. And I said, oh, Lord, no coffee. I started getting those caffeine headaches. Started getting the sweats. No, it wasn't that bad. But I was tempted. So I was tempted in church, if you can believe it. It's going to happen. You're going to be tempted. But I encourage you to stay focused. Don't give in. Your body's going to want to be able to give in to that. Your body's going to want you to say, just skip it a day, man. It's all good. You don't look so good. You don't feel so good. You need to get back on your own track. I encourage you to keep it going and rely on God. Come near to Him. He will come near to you. Jesus fasted for 40 days. He was tempted, and every response He had was, it is written. And even on the second time, the devil tried to use the word of God to twist it, and Satan said, it is also written. By fasting, you will see the word of God illuminated. You'll be able to answer those questions because you are focused in on what God is doing and what God, who He is, and what God can do through you to other people. Fasting may open up that door in your life. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. I just want to encourage you. And it's not just now. We're going to meet up on Wednesday and Sunday, and we're going to build each other up. You know, it's kind of like halftime in football. We'll make some adjustments. We'll be excited. We'll go on the positives. But throughout that week, I encourage you to do it. I really do. And I believe it's going to change your life. It's going to change this church. One of my big prayers personally is vision for this church. What does God want? What does He want us to do? Who do we want to bring in? We want to bring in everybody. But what does God want us to do for Family Fellowship Church? For His kingdom, for His glory. Amen. I encourage you to pray that as well. We need to be desperate for God for 2019. We need to hear from God for 2019. We want God to move in this church just like He did earlier, amen?
Amen.
And not only that, but we want to see God move outside of this church.
Yes.
On the streets, in families, in broken homes, children who don't have parents. We want to be able to fill the gap and show them who Jesus really is. We got to be prepared though. And through that, fasting is the tool. For the next 3 weeks, I'm expecting some big things to happen.
Amen.
I'm expecting God to move in this church. I'm expecting God to move in your lives. I'm expecting God to do great things. But we have to be humble, and we have to have the servant mindset and realize that it's all for Him, all of it. Sure, we want to have a blessed life and do great things. That's the way we think. But we have to have that servant heart as well.
Yes.
So I encourage you to continue doing the same things. Don't put on a show. I don't want you to advertise, oh, I'm fasting, look at me. Be humble, be a servant, and watch God move in your life. I'm going to challenge every one of you this morning, and I kind of hinted around last week, but if you want to join me in fasting, I want you to stand, and we're going to pray about it in closing. That God will be with us during this time and encourage us and strengthen us.